सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्टस्, मे हि गाइडस्, मे हि गिव अस स्ट्रेंथ एंड राइट अंडरस्टैंडिंग। मे लव एंड हार्मनी बी विद अस ऑल। पीस 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 बी एंड ऑल। Viveko Chudamani, crest jewel of discrimination. In this section, Shankara, the author of this book, wants to tell us how an illumined soul lives in the world, how he behaves, how he moves, how he talks, how he passes his time. It is very important for ordinary person to know that there are some people in this world who live in a higher realm of consciousness, who have transcended the pairs of opposites, who are unperturbed by happiness and misery and other dualities. As the Bhagavad Gita says, when a person attains this state, no suffering, no grief, no pain, no disease, no death can hurt, can disturb that soul. That is our goal. Though it is beyond our reach as present, but it is good for us to know that there is such a state which we can also achieve by self-discipline. Verse 522. Kastam parananda rasanubhutim utsrijya shunyeshu ramita vidvan chandre mahalladini dipyamane चित्तेन्दुम आलोकयितुम का इच्छेत। What wise man would discard that enjoyment of supreme bliss and revel in this unsubstantial? When the exceedingly charming moon is shining, who would wish to look at a painted moon? Very beautifully, Shankara gave this simile. If you see the full moon, bright light all around, do you go to see the picture of a moon? Or a painting of a moon? No, because you have got the original, the fresh. Similarly, this knower of Brahman gets the source of bliss. So he is not satisfied with the bliss which comes through the objects, which is very little. And at that time he knows that the bliss of Brahman is saturating through these objects. This bliss which comes from the objects waxes and wanes. It has a beginning, it has an end. You see, I remember once a man who acted in the role of Ramakrishna and acted in the role of Rashmani came to visit Udbodhan, Holy Mother's house. And people saw them. They're all movie stars. People saw them. And all people flocked to Udbodhan. It is hard to stop that crowd. Doors, windows, you know, they are peeping. And then my teacher told a major remark, look, if real Ramakrishna and real Rashmani would come, all these people would not come to see them. A movie actor, movie actress, stars, if they come, all people flock to see them. Who cares to see Rama and Sita? But now the Ramayana series you have seen, now it is hard for that Rama and Sita who acted those roles, they cannot go on the street. People flock to them and bow down to them on the street. Yeah, which is amazing. They're actors and actresses. But nobody goes to the temple to bow down to Rama or Sita. Not to nobody, I say, very few people go. See, we love to see the imitation. Very few people want to see the original. That Shankara says. If you see the real, genuine moon, who cares to see the painting of a moon? So this Nuvara Brahman enjoys the bliss, the source, which is within. He does not care this tidbit joy which comes from the sense objects. Sri Ramakrishna said, if you get real whiskey, will you try to get that country's made wine which they make from the fermented rice? It just smells terrible. If you drink it, even the fly will sit on your lips. It is so bad. That Sri Ramakrishna said, if you get the genuine thing, will you be happy with the imitation? If you get ornaments, jewelry with pure gold, real gold, will you go for this imitation, plastic ornaments of the market? Asat padartha anubhavena kinchi na hi asti triptir na cha dukkha hani tad advayananda rasanubhutya tripta sukham tishta sadatmanishthaya. From the perception of unreal things, there is neither satisfaction nor a cessation of misery. Therefore, being satisfied with the realization of the bliss absolute, the one without a second, live happily in a state of identity with that reality. Asat padartho anubhavena kinchit nahi asti tripti natai dukkhani. There are two things Shankara mentioned here. Day and night we are experiencing unreal objects. Food, clothing, home, car, human beings, friends, relatives, they are not real. Experience from these unreal objects day and night. Shankara says two things will happen. Na tripti. It will not give you permanent satisfaction. First thing. Second thing, na dukkho hani. It will never stop your grief, misery. A misery and grief will not stop from experiencing these unreal objects. You see, According to Naya scripture, liberation means cessation of misery. The Shankya philosophers also say the same thing. Liberation means permanent cessation of misery. Dukkha abhav. Want of misery, lack of misery is liberation. Now, a dukkha, suffering, pain comes from what? That is the question. From bad karma. Misery comes from bad karma. Happiness comes from good karma. We know it. If you do good, you will be happy. If you do wrong, you will be miserable. We know it. We experience it every day. Shankara says, this happiness and misery, this karma, the realm of karma, is in the domain of Maya, ignorance. Then the next line he says, Tat advayananda rasanubhitya tripta sukham tishto sada atmanishtaya. Atmanishta. That word quite often Shankara used in his philosophy, atmanishta. Nishtha. Nishtha means steadfast devotion. Some people say that, you know, he is very much devoted to something. Nishtha means this word is very difficult to understand. Nishtha means the actual literal translation is a steadfastness. Steadfastness alone is not sufficient to convey the meaning. There must be some love, feeling, deep attraction, joy, faith. In many words make that word nishtha, steadfast devotion, steadfast love, which never shakes. So atmanishtha, such devotion for the self, stops misery. Do you know what? Why it stops misery? Because Maya cannot reach there. Maya means duality, the weave cannot touch that state. It is above. When the plane flies, 22,000, 30,000, if there is any storm, it goes to 40,000. There is no storm, no rain, nothing of the sort. So the plane flies very smoothly. So the mind of this illumined soul flies in a higher realm of consciousness. So he does not have obstruction, no cloud, no storm, no rain. That he wants to say, nishtha, atmanishtha. He atman, you see, this is the realm of Maya. If you go up, this is the realm of the atman. No obstruction. It moves steadily. I remember when I was coming to this country in 1971, my plane left Bombay to Moscow, Moscow to Paris. So on the way to Moscow, it was on the Caspian Sea, it was flying over Iran. Came terrible storm. One girl, she was serving dinner, lunch, one air hostess was about to fall, she with food. She fell on the seat. Then they gave signal, please, we shall serve dinner or lunch later. We cannot serve right now. All of a sudden, the storm came. I was watching below, vast desert, and then some water. Atmanishtha. Beautiful word. Swameva sarvata paishyan manyamana swam advayam swanandam anubhunyanaha kalam naya mahamati. The guru is telling the disciple, beholding the self alone in all circumstances, thinking of the self, the one without a second, and enjoying the bliss of the self, pass thy time, O noble soul. How to pass the time? At that time, this man does not have any project that I shall start a new ashram, I shall raise some money, some fundraising dinner, you know, or I shall do this, I shall do that, I shall try to capture some people as my disciple. No motivation in his mind. He is self-contented. Swameva sarvata paishyan manyamana swamadhyam. He sees the self, the Atman, that consciousness, God in everything, in every being. He enjoys his own bliss and thus he passes his time. Kalam nayo mahamati. Somebody asked Holy Mother, Mother, why do you repeat your mantra? She smiled and said, how shall I pass my time? I repeat the mantra for others, not for myself. That is the way an illumined soul lives in the world. He does not live for himself. If you see any action in an illumined soul, remember, he is doing for others, not for himself. As Swamiji said, if I do anything wrong in my life, that I did for others. An illumined soul never does anything for himself. Complete effacement of selfishness. Amazing. What a great state. When I first came, the old Swami who passed away in 1979, Swami Shat Prakashananda, after evening my walk or play, I used to go and talk to him. Only once a day I used to go to see him. So I used to talk, and if we had anything to discuss, we discuss. And then he would tell me, it is evening, I shall now repeat my mantra. Please do. Then he would hear some hymn, some tape recorder, some that Vesper songs, then he would just start to repeat his mantra, taking his rosary. Even at that sick bed, you know, he cannot walk properly. But how he would pass his days. All through his life, he was a great scholar. He studied. Later life, no more study. No more study. And we watched him, day and night we watched him, that how he passes his time. Any time you go, that he takes lying down on the side, his finger is moving on. Amazing person. We have seen. You know, one day, when I first came, he used to tell me, it is a poor ashram. He used to tell me, "A chatti chatti khao, adhyan jap karo. Eat a little quantity and practice japa." It is a poor ashram. He told me, oh, the Garib ashram, chatti chatti khao aur dhyan jap karo. Eat a small quantity and repeat mantra. That was his advice to me. How a person, you know, it's sometimes I go to this rest home to see the old people, you know. Those who have a spiritual background, they make it. Even that at the time of death, this old age, sick in bed, they have some inner joy, inner bliss that keep them going. Otherwise, you know, lamentation, frustration, agony, pain, fear, all these things come at that time. At that time, your body is not strong, mind is weak, senses are weak, you cannot function. Perhaps you are senile. I have seen a Swami, great scholar. What I can mention his name, Swami Nikhilananda. In little life, you know that his that blood is not going into the brain. He was forgetful. In 1972, I was with him at Thousand Island Park. They had to push him by, first they had to take him by car near the Vivekananda cottage, and there is a wheelchair. And the wheelchair, they would put, there is off a ramp. So through the wheelchair, they would take inside the cottage in the library. And there, he would drink a cup of tea at 4 o'clock. Their vesper starts at 4:30, 4:30 to 6. Half an hour singing, 1 hour meditation. And then his two disciples would practically carry him, lifted him and took him to the shrine room where Swami Vivekananda used to live and gave class that inspired talks, that room. In the back, there is a chair. He used to sit on the chair, we used to sit on the floor. Sitting on the chair, taking the rosary, 1.5 hours. Just his mind, you know, forgetting this and that, but with the rosary in his hand, bas. Continuously it was going on. Those things, you know, one should watch, how it works. Do you know what does it mean? It means momentum, badhite ronubritti. A prarabdha, momentum. He practiced these things in his early life so that that thing is going on in his last life. You know, sometimes I go and visit, and even in India, when I visit, I watch these old monks and I see their lifestyle, how they lead their lives, what do they do. You can learn many things from them than from the books that I tell you again and again. How they lead their lives. Mother's disciple continuously repeating mantra. Hours. But old, that new materials do not enter the brain, but the old things, it comes again and again, again and again, again and again. Otherwise, some monks also you will find, they do not practice japa and meditation and parties, moving around. No, outgoing tendencies. That is not real monk's life. You see, these are the signs. If you know, immediately you can know who is a real, genuine spiritual person. So it is very important to know this section of Viveka Chudamani. Kalam Nayo Mahamati, how he passes his time. Day and night his mind dwells in God, in some form or other. Either Karma Yoga or Bhakti Yoga or Jnana Yoga or Raja Yoga, in any of the yogas he is practicing. Otherwise, sometimes I say, then in old age I went to see another old home. That person was telling that, oh, I did not get that potato salad. In old age, you will cry for potato salad. Akhandabodhatmani nirvikalpe vikalpanam bomni purahprakalpanam tat advayanandamayatmana sadashantim paramitya bhajasva maunam. That is also a beautiful verse. Dualistic conceptions in the Atman, the infinite knowledge, the absolute, are like imagining castles in the air. Therefore, always identifying the Self with the bliss absolute, the one without a second, and thereby attaining supreme peace, remain quiet. Atmate dvaita kalpana. If you imagine the duality in the Self, that is akin to building a castle in the air. Duality does not exist. At the same time, this duality is so real to us. Huh? So real. When a person attains this Atman, the Self, sada shantim para apitya, param shantim, uninterrupted peace and joy, he enjoys at that time. No interruption of peace. Nobody can break his peace. He says, Guru is telling the disciple, Bhajasva Maunam. Maunam means quietness, serenity. Maunam means speechlessness, no speech, no talk. Maunam. Be a taciturn. Bhajasva Maunam. Swami Sat Prakashananda used to tell that a story of Swami Brahmananda. When Swami Brahmananda was traveling in South India, some devotees came to Swami Ramakrishnananda and are asking him, will the Swami give a lecture? Will Swami Brahmananda give a lecture? Swami Ramakrishnananda said, lecture, lecture, lecture. He does not give any lecture. Only one or two words come from his lips, we twist them and make a lecture. He does not speak. Maunam. Only one or two sentences come from his lips, that is enough. Who will lecture? When Holy Mother went to South India, sometimes devotees would come and Holy Mother does not know their language, did not know their language. So they used to come and say, Upadesham, Upadesham. And Upadesh means, Sir, Mother, Mother, give me advice, give me advice. So Holy Mother used to say, when she used to see the devotees are coming, she used to say, Oi, Upadesham asche go, Upadesham asche. Mane those upadesham, those advice people are coming, these advice people are coming. Mane seeking advice, you know, they are coming. She says very interestingly, Oi, upadesham asche go, upadesham asche. Upadesham means advice, give me advice. She kept quiet. Then she was telling Swami Vishuddhananda, who was her attendant, I feel very bad that I cannot speak their language. If I could say a few words to them, I would be so happy. When Swami Vishuddhananda translated that thing to those devotees, they said, "No, mother, you will not have to speak. Your very presence is quite sufficient for our peace and happiness. We know our Brahman, their very presence is enough. They will not have to talk. They are not talkers of religion. Wherever they go, they create an atmosphere. And whoever will come in that atmosphere will imbibe that peace and serenity." If you read the life of Raman Maharshi, what a wonderful life. He is not a talker. Somerset Maugham wrote in his book that what a great experience he had with Raman Maharshi. Maunam Bhajasya. Cherish quietness. Tushnim avastha paramo uposhanti buddhir sat kalpo vikalpo hetu brahmatmana brahmavido mahatmano yatra adyayo ananda sukham nirantaram. To the sage who has realized Brahman, the mind, which is the cause of unreal fancies, becomes perfectly tranquil. This verily is his state of quietude, in which, identified with Brahman, he has constant enjoyment of the bliss absolute, the one without second. Tushnim avastha. Tushnim means silence. State of silence. There, this mind does not take any other vritti, wave, form, other than Brahman. One vritti, place. You see, if you watch your mind, innumerable vrittis, waves, thought waves are passing over your mind. Suppose 1 minute, you have 50 waves. Those who have quiet mind, in 1 minute, perhaps 10 waves. Those who are extremely restless, perhaps 1 minute, perhaps 100 waves. Constantly these waves are passing. Amazing. Their thoughts are not consistent, not tied. Very little, rapid. It is amazing, if you watch your mind, that how many thought waves are passing over your mind. If you watch, those who meditate, you know, they know how to slow down the thought waves. You see, peace of mind depends upon these less thought waves of the mind. The more your mind is restless, the more thought waves are in your mind. The more your mind is peaceful, happy, the more less thought waves you have. It depends upon the thought waves. Who creates these thought waves? Desire. The more desire you have, the more thought waves are in your mind, and less peace and happiness you have. This is the truth. This is the truth. we practice meditation only for that reason, to reduce the thought waves of the mind by determination. Hey, no, I shall think only my chosen ideal right now. No other thought should play in my mind. Through determination, through will force, we stopped our thought waves. And gradually, we get peace, calmness in the mind. That Shankara says, Tushnim avastha paramo upashantir buddhe asat kalpa vikalpa hetu. Buddhi, intellect, does not take any other waves other than the wave of Brahman. Brahmatmano brahmavido mahatmano jatra attayo ananda sukham nirantaram. Uninterrupted peace and bliss he enjoys. I was thinking of the life of Swami Vijnanananda, one of the direct disciples of Sri Ramakrishna. He was an amazing person. He loved to hide himself. Seldom he would talk. He used to live in his own realm. If anybody would come for initiation, he would give initiation and then sometimes he would say that if anybody would come for initiation, yes, I can initiate you on condition. What is the condition? You promise that you will never write me a letter. Means follow what I say. That will be enough. He was a very amazing person, very interesting person. Nasti nidbhasanat maunat param sukhakrit uttamam vijnatatma swarupaisva swananda rasa apasarrasapainaha. To the man who has realized his own nature and drinks the undiluted bliss of the self, there is nothing more exhilarating than the quietude that comes of a state of desirelessness. One day, Holy Mother was seated among the women devotees and she asked one of them, "Do you know what to pray to God?" So some people say, "Oh, Mother, I shall pray this, I shall pray that." Then he said, "Do you know what is the highest prayer? Pray, O Lord, make me desireless." The moment you are desireless, your mind will be full of God consciousness. You will be illumined instantly. Mother, make me desireless. Only God is desireless. He has no desire. Atma kamo, apta kamo. Completely. Desire comes from ignorance. The moment you are desireless, do you know what that means? That means you have no ignorance. That means you are illumined. We have so many desires, huh? The Upanishad says, Shrotriyasya chakamahatasya akamahato. Whatever joy, bliss you find in the worldly plane, a desireless Nora Brahman achieves everything. All joy of the world, all joy of heaven, all joy of gods and goddesses, all joy of Brahma, everything comes to the desireless Nora Brahman. The Upanishad says that. The Mahabharata says, Yachya kama sukham loke yachya dibba mahat sukham trishnakshaya sukas seiti narhantim shodushim kalam. When the happiness, the joy which comes from the enjoyment of the worldly things and the enjoyment of celestial things, the joy which comes from desirelessness is 1,000 times more than those joys that Mahabharata says. Silence is of two kinds, verbal silence and mental silence. Mental silence is higher than verbal silence. Some people do not talk, you know, but their minds are very active. That is not a real silence. Real silence is silence of the mind. Gachan tishtan upobishan shayano ba onnatha opi ba yathichaya vashid vidwan atma ramah sada munihi. The illumined sage, whose only pleasure is in the self, ever lives in at ease, whether going or staying, sitting or lying, or in any other condition. Whatever state, he may walk, he may sit down, he may lie down, he may do whatever, but his mind always dwells in God, in Brahman. You see, he does not have any duty. He does not have any responsibility either. He goes beyond this duty, responsibility. One day, Sri Ramakrishna said to Ramdatta, "Hello, why do you come here?" "Sir, I come here, you know, just to get your advice to serve you this and that, and you will have to do this thing for you." Sri Ramakrishna says, "I cannot do everything." "Oh, sir, I am looking at your face," and then Sri Ramakrishna says, "If you like it, come. If you don't like it, don't come." Unconditional. And if you want to take my, I do not have any condition with the people, that if you want, you will have to do this thing for me. I have no condition. I am not bound by any condition. One rich man, that Jyothu Mallik, engaged a cook for Sri Ramakrishna, because master used to get food very late, 2:30, 3 o'clock, his stomach was not good. So he engaged a cook, 3 rupees per month salary. And after 3 days, Sri Ramakrishna went to him and said, "You take back your cook." "Why, master?" "You know, if you engage a cook, then you, whenever you will come to your garden house, you will call on me and I will have to come. And it is a condition. I don't like to have any kind of obligation. Please take back your cook." He does not like to be bound by any condition. He feels tight, bound. A free soul will never go under condition. "If you wish, come. If you don't wish, don't come." That he said to Ramdatta. "I do not eat anybody's food. Mother provides for me." Atmaram. When you read the gospel, perhaps it is in the second day or third day, Sri Ramakrishna said to M, that you come and see me at Balaram's house. All right, sir. So M left. He went to the gate. Again he came back. And he saw that Sri Ramakrishna was pacing back and forth in the Nath Mandir, in the front of the mother's temple. Hello, like a lion, pacing back and forth. Still, it was dark after evening, very little light around. He was pacing back and forth. All of a sudden, Sri Ramakrishna saw him and said, I see you are again back. What is the matter? Sir, perhaps I shall come and see you in Dakshineshwar, that Balaram may be a very rich man, and it is not proper for me to go to his house uninvited. Oh, no, 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 no. You will not have to worry for that. You just tell my name. You just tell my name. Then somebody will escort you to me. There he mentioned that Jano Shingo Ikaki Bicharan Kuriteche. He was just like a lion walking alone. Atmarama, completely independent, does not depend on anybody. When a person becomes illumined, he is completely independent. Because dependence brings misery, independence brings happiness. He does not depend on any human being. He depends only on the self, on the Atman. At that time, he gets complete self-mastery. As a result, Maya, this nature, comes in his favor and serves him. He will not have to go to raise money or to get food here and there. Food will come to him. Whatever he will wish, that thing will come to him. Sri Ramakrishna said, when a flower has honey, the bees go to that flower. The flower does not come to the bee. So when this knower of Brahman attains that honey, that knowledge, that bliss of Brahman, all human beings flock to that knower of Brahman to suck that honey. He has honey. And people know where is real honey. As the bees know where there is real honey in which flower, they know. Those who are in pain, suffering, agony, grief, they know where to get peace and happiness. They try in the external world, there is no peace. Show, just outer courtesy, friendliness, show. No deshu kalo asuno dig yamadi lakshadi apeksha pratibandha pratibaddha vritti sambiddha tatvaisya mahatmano usti swabedani ka niyamadi apeksha. The noble soul who has perfectly realized the truth and whose mind functions meet with no obstruction, no more depends upon conditions of place, time, posture, direction, moral disciplines, objects of meditation, and so forth. What regulative conditions can there be in knowing one's own self? In this verse, Shankara is trying to refute the jnana karma samuchaya vada. Swami, what is jnana karma samuchaya vada? That is the school of the Mimamsa, the ritualistic school. They believe that knowledge and action must be practiced simultaneously. Swami, explain more. Knowledge and action. They believe that if you perform ritual, you will go to heaven and you will get celestial joy. Java jivam agnihotram juyuat, as long as you are alive, till death, pour oblation into the fire of Brahman, into the fire. Om Agnaya Swaha, Om Suryaya Swaha, Om Somaya Swaha, Om Indraya Swaha, Om Gurave Swaha. In this way they repeat mantra and pour oblations into the fire. The fire god, the moon god, the sun god, they were pour oblations. In this way they believe that through this purification of the mind you will go to heaven and get heavenly joy. So you will get knowledge. So you practice knowledge and karma both simultaneously. Shankara is very much against that school. Do you know why? Because Shankara says you are confused. Action comes from desire. Desire comes from ignorance. So you are keeping your darkness and knowledge comes from light. So you are keeping light and darkness simultaneously in your life. You are confused. Mimamsa school says, why am I confused? Have you not seen firefly? It blinks. This light, dark, lightness, darkness. The firefly is in the evening. So let the knowledge and karma go side by side. Shankara says, no. Where there is light, there is no darkness. A day and night never stay together. So knowledge and karma never go together. There is a fight, big fight between these two schools. So in this verse, Shankara is refuting that school. What does he say? Na deshu kalo, desh. Anuara Brahman does not select any place that it is a pure place, it is an impure place, I'll have to practice ritual in the shrine. He goes beyond the shrine. He himself becomes a mobile shrine. His body becomes a mobile shrine. He does not think that the shrine is the holy place and that outside, you know, in the yard is the unholy place. He does not have that knowledge. He sees holiness in everything. Kala. Kala means time. That I will have to practice japa and meditation in the morning and evening. Those things are the beginners. Morning and evening I will have to sit down. His mind all the time remains in Brahman. You remember in the gospel it is there, first time M was asking Sri Ramakrishna, sir, it is evening, perhaps it is the time for you to practice meditation, shall I go, shall I leave? Oh no, 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 sit down, sit down, sit down. What does it mean? I passed that state. Trishanda je bale kali, puja shanda sheki chai. Sandatar sandhane fere kobu sandhi nai phai. Three times, day and night, those who repeat mother's name, does he wait for morning and evening? All the time something is going on inside his mind. All spiritual disciplines follow that Nuara Brahman, Desh Kal. Then what does he say? Asana. Asana means posture. That you will have to sit in this particular place, this and that. No. He does not care for the dig. Dig means side. That when you sit for meditation, either you face the north or the east. I remember once Nanak, the founder of Sikh religion, went to Makkah. And he was lying down, placing his feet toward the Kaaba, the holy black stone of Makkah. Then somebody says, oof, what is this? You are placing the feet toward that holy shrine, toward God. Nanak replied, please turn my feet to that direction in that where there is no God. Please push my feet to that direction, the direction where there is no God. Nuara Brahman. He sees God in all directions. Yamadi means yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. this ashta, eight limbs of yoga, he does not practice anymore. Those are for the beginners. He transcended those things. He did so much in the early part of his life. Then, lakshadi apikha. Laksha means object of meditation. Your object is a chosen deity. Is it with form or without form? He is gross or subtle or Brahman? All these things are also not there. Nistrigunye pati vicharadam ko vidhiko nishida. When the mind moves towards that non-dual Brahman, Brahman without qualities, vidhi, nishid, injunction of the scripture, prohibition of the scripture, no, nothing can bind him. He transcends everything. Swamiji made a remark, our goal is to be an outlaw. Our goal is to be an outlaw. But that is very difficult. So we are framing some rules so that one day you can go beyond the rules. It is very important. Those who come and ask interview, I always ask them, make a routine, build a shrine, and read some holy books. At least 1 hour in a day, feel that you are not in the world. Withdraw yourself from the world. Disconnect yourself. Otherwise, this worldly things will just make your heart heavy. Materialism cannot make a person happy. It can give you comfort, but not real peace and happiness. Comfort and peace of mind are not the same thing. Ghatu ayam iti vijnatum niyama ku annave ikshati. Bina pramana shushtutvam yasmin sati padarthadhi. To know that this is a jar, what condition for suit is necessary except that the means of knowledge be free from defect, which alone ensures a cognition of the object. Knowledge is subject to the object, is object, objective. It is not the wish. They call it a bostu tantra, not purusha tantra. It is hard to explain these words. Bostu tantra means knowledge is very objective, and purusha tantra is subjective. I may see you, I may not see you, I may see something else. I have 3 choices. I may see you with my eyes, I may close my eyes and I may not see you at all, and I may see something else. I have 3 choices. That is my ichcha, my wish has 3 alternatives. That is called purusha tantra, subjective. It depends upon me whether I want to see you or not. But bostu tantra, if the knowledge is objective, I cannot stop it. If you are in front of my eyes, I will have to see it. So I will have to see it, but the object got. When I see a jar, if there is no defect of my eyes, that knowledge of jar will come to me. If there is no obstruction. So the knowledge of the jar depends upon the knowledge of the, it depends upon the jar, it does not depend upon me. because the jar exists. That existence, I cannot deny. This Shankara will tell you. My father told me, your name is this. And my mother also told me this. Then my friends started to call me by that name. Then what happened? I became convinced that my name is this. I identified that name with my body. And that knowledge, even I know this is my name. Of course, if I have Alzheimer's disease or something like that, I may forget my name. But anyhow, that conviction, similarly, when Guru says, Tattvamasi, thou art that, you are Brahman, and if you can get that knowledge, you know that knowledge will stay with you forever. Anyhow, that is the way it goes. Guru says, Tattvamasi, thou art that. The disciple realizes, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman. It is Bostu Tantra. You cannot do otherwise. It is not subjective, it is objective. Because Brahman is the eternal existence. Anyhow, I tried to explain to you, it is difficult. Please ask me questions if you want.